Morning. How are you? I'd like to start in prayer. And Heavenly Father, thank you for another day, another good morning that the saints can come together and study and fellowship. And we have another that we can just come together without no issues. Thank you for a beautiful day. Thank you for our families and everybody that we have, our church families. And thank you for the health that we have. Let the Holy Spirit kind of flow through us and flow through me so we can get an understanding that is not of my own, but it's of you. And we can grow in grace and grow in peace and grow in understanding, Lord. All in your glory, in the Lord Jesus' name we pray, amen. 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 All right. So, another day. As you know, my name's Oscar Ochoa, and today I'm going to do something a little different. I'm going to go through prophecy and mystery. We're going to do a, kind of a compare and contrast, kind of talk about it at first. Before I do that, I just wanted to say thank you for coming to the study. I want to honor Ed and, you know, people that have died recently in the fight of the faith for the Lord. And Dave and everybody, all the saints. And I want to honor the saints here today that fight for the Lord. Soldiers in Christ, ambassadors in Christ, and that we just keep the good fight. And just it's something to be honored and appreciative. And that, you know, as you know, that we study rightly divided, you know, through 2 Timothy 2:15. We like to let the Bible compare itself, compare scripture with scripture, and we like to let the Bible kind of do its work and let the Holy Spirit be our teacher and let the Bible teach itself for those that are just listening, and that's how we do it, you know, that it's not of our interpretation, it's of the Lord's. And so I wanted to get to kind of getting to kind of learning basics about the Bible, because there's a lot of basics out there that are being forgotten in the world and through other denominations, that they're not learning basics, which is why they have denominations. And a basic, serious basic, is which we have, is prophecy and mystery. Prophecy and mystery are the true divisions of the Bible. And I don't believe that, you know, we have an Old and New Testament, which we can go by, but the true divisions of the Bible is prophecy and mystery. And with those divisions, we can kind of understand what the Bible is telling us and how we can read the Bible and understand it and enjoy it the proper way, you know, because this Bible is for everyone. It's for the kings of this world. It's for the people down the street. It's for everyone. God doesn't choose. He allows everyone to study this book and to understand it and to get it for themselves, because it's that treasure that we have in heaven, which we'll get into, you know, because it's, you know, we have a heavenly calling, and we're going to show that difference here in a bit. So, the difference between prophecy and mystery. If we can go to, so I wanted to just do the quick differences, and if we can go to 2 Peter 1:16-21, and kind of start off there. And while we're going there, I wanted to say that, you know what, before you do it, let's go to Genesis 1:1. I want to start in Genesis. I got a little ahead of myself. Let's go to Genesis 1:1. So we can kind of see what God is doing right at the beginning of his book and what he's doing right at the beginning. So, and while we're, obviously, we know where Genesis 1:1 is. And, so this is just showing that God has been dividing ever since the beginning. God has had distinctions and dividing, and Pastor Kurt has a good thing on distinctive hope, which is, but God has been dividing since the beginning. So Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So when he started creating things, he created the two parts, a heavenly program and an earthly program, right off the beginning of his creation. And so I wanted to kind of get to that, because that's, and if you read through Genesis, you see that he divides all over the place. He's dividing, you know, the waters from the earth. He's dividing, so, which is what he does. He divides to kind of, so we could separate parts from their parts, so we can know what he's doing for each program, for each dispensation, for, you know, and each time that he's doing it. So, that being said, let's go to 2 Peter 1:16 through 21. Now, as you're going there, 2 Peter 1:16 through 21. And as you're going there, I wanted to say that another division of the Bible is the books, which is, there's obviously law and grace, and then there's prophecy and mystery. So what is the differences? So through Genesis through Acts, that's prophecy books. So you could kind of know when you're under them books, you know that you're under prophecy, and for the greater of it, you're under the law, and you know, and you can kind of differentiate from there. Then you got Romans. Acts is a transitional book, which transitions into what we call grace, and that is Romans through Philemon. So when you're under them books, you know that those books are written to us. The books of Genesis through Acts are written for us. Then afterward, you go after Romans and Philemon, and you know that those are written to us. Then you can go from Hebrews to Revelation, which goes back to the program, which we'll get into in a minute, that the program of prophecy, which is the future, which is what we're not under right now. And that is, so if you can understand those, when you open your Bible, you know right away, boom, I'm in this book. I'm in prophetic times. And then if you're, you know, Ephesians, Colossians, you know, you're on Romans, you're under grace. And then when you're in Hebrews through Revelation, you're under prophecy. So, all right. So, and while I was talking, I kind of, so 2 Peter 1:16 through 21. Now we're going to get into prophecy. So this is a good, so 16 through 21. Oh, 2 Peter. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables. This is Peter speaking. Peter writing. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in the dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy is of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So that right there is a kind of, you know, that it is of no private interpretation, meaning the prophets were talking about this, that they were prophesying all this. So this has been since when we were saying Genesis through Acts, and now this is Hebrews through Revelation. We know 2 Peter is under prophecy just by the language, just by what he's saying. We know that this is, we're in them waters. So now, what's the contrast to that? What are we under? What are we seeing? What is the difference? So that's Peter talking. So now we can go to Paul. And let's see what Paul has to say about the dispensation of grace and the mystery. So we can go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. Okay. And these... And this could help, you know, if only the churches of today would only understand these things and know, and they would be on the same page, just instead of not understanding and not knowing and not, and, you know, full of fear and full of not knowing what to do and how to feel about situations with the world, you know, and that they can understand that there are divisions and there are things that God has separated. And this is one of them. This is the main, this is, because prophecy is the God's purpose concerning the earth and Christ's reign. That's all in prophecy. And mystery is the purpose concerning heaven and our exaltation with Christ. So we have a very big, we got some good things for us, you know, in the heavenly places. And here we have in chapter 3, verse 1 through 9. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye had heard the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. You see that? That's the Apostle Paul knew what he was talking about. He didn't in before, and we can get into that here in a little bit, but in the Old Testament writers, they frequently didn't understand what was going on. You know, they didn't know what was going on. Apostle Paul understood and knew exactly what he was doing and what was going on. And he said it to us very clearly. So moving forward, we're unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. Verse 4, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets and by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. That's, I love hearing that. So, you know, we're fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of the promise of Christ by the gospel. Wherefore I was made a minister, the Apostle Paul, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all the saints, is the grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. That is, in God who created all things by Jesus Christ. There's so much in that. I mean, you know, just from reading in Genesis and reading them verses, there's so much in there that you can go out that the world wants to deny. And that, you know, there, the Lord Jesus Christ created the earth. We're fellow heirs in the Lord. We, you know, this is a mystery. This was never told before. So why, you know, what is, so, and this is why, you know, us as, you know, believers, we try to do our best to get it out there, because Satan is doing his best to keep it from getting, you know, getting out there. So, and yeah, so, and that's, and I am just appreciative that we have a church like this, that we could learn this, because Satan is hiding this as best as he can. And it's a fight for people's souls. And, you know, and Brother Ray was reminding me of Matthew 24, that, you know, all these things, war in Russia and Ukraine, and then, you know, even here, which is a little more important in my opinion, in Canada, you know, that they're beating the crap out of them and all these things, creating emergency acts and martial law. And a lot of people want to point that this is the end times. This is not the end times. This is not the end times. This is not the end times. This is, we're still under grace. The end times are going to probably be a little more cynical. Even as crazy as it is now, it's not, you know, and we get confused because why? Matthew 24 is under that guise of prophecy. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are Christ's earthly ministry, which is part of the prophecy, which the prophet's been prophesying all them years, that Christ were to come and fulfill the law and end the law. Christ was the end of the law. And now, when Christ died, rose again, we have that now. We got it good. I'm very grateful for that. So there we have our differences, main really good differences. And I wanted to, through this study, I wanted to kind of separate, show you that there's, within prophecy and within mystery, there's a few things that you could kind of tell which what is the difference. So, and just to start, prophecy concerns a kingdom and a political organization. So, and mystery concerns a body and a living organism. You know, prophecy, the kingdom to be established on earth, the body given a position in heaven. So those are two main, you know, they're going to inherit earth and we're going to inherit heaven. And you know that by, we can go to Matthew 6:10. Matthew 6:10. And we're going to, this is going to be concerning prophecy. And again, I just feel that this subject is very important because, you know, whenever, you know, I forgot to say it, but my wife's father died a couple days ago. So I got to, you know, talk about the grace message with some of her family. And it was, and you can kind of see people who actually study her Bible and they still don't know the grace message, but they know their Bible. But it's like, the Lord kind of works its way in there so you could speak with them and kind of get to them, and which was a blessing. But I wanted to send out some prayers out to her family for that. And Matthew 6:10 concerning prophecy. Oh, yeah. That's the prayer, the Jewish prayer. So that's, you know, the, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in verse 9, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. They've always been talking about the earth. You know, it's, and we can go to Jeremiah 23:5. It's just another one about the kingdom to be established on earth. And I kind of like to flip through the Bible a lot because you get that muscle memory, you know? So we can be in and out. So we can kind of be flipping because it's good to know where the books are. So you can just be, it makes you quicker, makes you study, you know, it helps you study. Jeremiah 23:5. Behold the days. Let's go to verse 4, kind of go in context. And this is, and I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. So it's, they've always been waiting for the Lord Jesus to come, for the Messiah to come and the reign, you know, just, that's prophecy right there. That's them, the Jews, Israel, always being promised that they were going to have a Messiah that were going to come and reign and come and be with them and come and take care of them and get them out of, because as you know, the Jews have been steeped ever since, I mean, prophecy, the first 11 chapters of Genesis, you know, you get all that information, you know, with the, you get, you know, the Tower of Babel, and you get how all the way up to when Abraham, you know, when Abraham was brought up, it's all that prophecy that it's so important to kind of know, because most of the Bible is written to the, you know, written to the Jew. They were written to, you know, to, you know, for the prophecy. And a nice little small chunk in there is written for to us. So on the flip side also, Christ is to be its king and Christ is to be his living, and on the prophecy side, and on the mystery side, Christ is to be his living head. So we have a difference now. Now there, Christ is going to be king on earth and he's going to be our living head in the heavenlies, because we're going to be fellow heirs. So it's going to be a good thing. And so I want to go to Colossians 3:1. Kind of jump back and forth here. Kind of get the differences. Because probably can go all day with these differences. But I just feel that it's just so important to kind of get a deeper grasp And then maybe if this can help you get, you know, get some verses in to be like, well, where's, you know, to kind of, when you're going out there being an ambassador for the Lord and promoting his word. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. All right. If ye then, being risen with Christ, there we go again. We're risen with Christ. Our thing is for the heavenlies. We have our all heavenly blessings. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. That, you know, we're our affection is in heaven. We're going to be reigning and ruling and, you know, with positions in heaven. You know, there's a difference there. You know, they're going to be ruling and reigning on the earth with Christ as their king. And we're going to be reigning and ruling in the heavenlies as Christ is our head. And, you know, the body given a position in heaven. So if you flip back Colossians 1:18, just one page back, Colossians 1:18. And here we go again. We have the Apostle Paul describing the Lord, and the Lord is the head. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Yeah, that's pretty plain and clear. So, thank God for that, huh? And when the Jews had 613 laws that they had to abide by, that's a lot of, you know, if they didn't keep the Sabbath at their beginnings there, thinking Exodus in Numbers or Exodus back there, they would stone, you know, you would die if you didn't keep that the Sabbath. And you know, and it's like honoring your parents. Yeah, that's like, you know, but we thank God we're under grace, and the Lord knows, you know, we're the Gentile, and we have a lot of sin. You know, our sin nature is still there, even though we have our Christ nature, our new nature, that we can kind of, and it's always in confliction. You know, you want to feed the new nature, because it's always going to be there. You know, even amongst, you know, Satan's going to find issues within the world, even amongst your friends and even amongst family or whoever, to kind of try to get you to not, you know, to not reach that mark of perfection that we want to reach, that we want to be the best that we can be, you know. And okay, so do we have any other? All right, well, here's another one. Israel, then prophecy, Israel is to be given a supremacy over the nations. Israel had a spot. You know, they had the spot, and if they didn't behave, they would lose that spot, and they would lose it big time. They would feel it, you know. And for us, the Jew and the Gentile placed on the same level before God. We have an equal, you know. The Jews have been set aside for a time, and as you know, they will be back, you know, in the tribulation during, you know, Jacob's trouble and all. It'll be back to. And then that 1,000-year reign. So they'll be back and they'll be doing all the things that they're supposed to be doing. And then we have to go back to law. So to prove that, we can go to, because don't take my word for it, let's go to the Bible and find out if them things are so. Isaiah 61:6. And that's one of the things I like to say, you know, don't take my word for it. Find out if some things are so. Be a student of yourself. You know, don't be biased. I've heard something and went with it as truth, and it ended up becoming not true. But if we can kind of train ourselves to be like, okay, well, let me find out if that's true. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with you going against the grain, you know, and saying, hey, well, that's, let me see if this is true or not. And if it's, you know, so you can be sharp in yourself. Isaiah 61:6. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you in the ministers of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. I mean, that's basically them, you know, in their glory you shall boast themselves. They have a position over us. Let's go to 60, same book, 60, verse, chapter 60, verse 10. So one page, just go one, flip one page. And the sons, verse 10 through 12, and the sons of strangers shall build up thy walls, and their king shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I had mercy on thee. Therefore thy gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day or night, nor night, that men may bring up thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. Well, if they didn't, you know, if God had this, you know, if they were doing what God told them to do, and they were doing right, Gentiles were under them. And then if they weren't doing what they were supposed to do, the Lord would chasten them and be under the Gentile rule. And there are many, many, there are plenty of references in the Bible that prove that, because that's been, Israel has been always failing, you know, they've been failing, they failed very often, from King Solomon to David, even them, the great patriarchs, you know, them guys, they've everyone has failed, but God has seen, you know, they've, with their faith, you know, because, you know, without faith it's impossible to please God, and we need faith in what he's doing in that time. So, all right, so that was for their Israel supremacy. Now, to kind of prove our point on the mystery side, we can go to, let's just go to Ephesians chapter 2. That Jew and Gentile are on the same level before God. Chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. Is that it? Chapter 2, 16 and 17. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross. Yeah, that's having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you that were far off and them that were nigh. So he's talking about the Gentiles, and came and preached peace to you that were far off. We were far off. I mean, we didn't, in verse 18, for through him we both have access by one spirit unto the Father. So we're, you know, everyone has access. There's no more having to be a proselyte Jew and having to be a Jew. That was all prophecy. If you wanted to, for the people who want to keep the law today, if you wanted to keep the law, you had to keep the whole law. So, and there's a lot to keep, you know. So if you're saying that you're going to keep the law for whatever one thing, if baptisms or, you know, then maybe you should be doing animal sacrifices and doing, there's a lot to do. And if, you know, and that's, so that's how we know we're not under law, because we're not doing that. Christ was the ultimate sacrifice. He was our, he was, all them sacrifices and ordinances were pointing toward what an ultimate sacrifice. They were all typifications of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were all, you know, down to the Ark of the Covenant and the you know, and the tents and everything that they had. It was all types of Lord Jesus Christ for him to come. So they, and remember, those things were hidden from them. The mystery, what we have today, was hidden from them. So that's kind of, and let's see, and there's plenty here, prophecy. And then we can, so prophecy also mainly concerns nations. Mystery concerns individuals. So, you know, and we as individuals, we, the Lord sees us precious in His sight. We are saints, you know, it's, He calls us saints and precious in His sight. And we have a position in the heavenlies, and we don't always act like we should, but we should try and act and as our position is. We have that heirship. We sitting up there with Him. We have that spot. So now that we have that spot, you know, here on earth, we should be doing all that we can and be diligent to promoting His word and rightly dividing His word, which is prophecy and mystery. These are two very important things to kind of grasp and understand and to keep within and to share, because I mean, you can walk down the street and ask 100 people, do you know what prophecy and mystery is? They probably wouldn't know. And that's why it's our jobs to kind of try to get them to know. And it can be difficult, but it still can be done, you know. So I thank God that we have the health that we have and the minds that we have to kind of try and get it done. So so we know that prophecy mainly concerns nations. So let's find out then. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4. Let's see what that's all about, huh? And Isaiah and all these books, these are all the prophetic prophecy books, you know. There's a lot of prophecy in Isaiah and Daniel and all these things. So Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. So again, these are all prophecies of Christ and all His reign and all everything that's coming, because tribulation, it should have came already. We have, you know, that it was interrupted by the grace message. It was interrupted by, you know, by grace. They, you know, they did the three murders, you know, the three murders of John the Baptist, Jesus Christ, and Stephen, you know. And John the Baptist, they permitted it. Jesus Christ, they demanded it. Stephen, they committed it. And it was a hit on all the Godhead. So when they killed John the Baptist, it was a hit on the Father. When they killed the Lord Jesus Christ, it was a hit on the Son. And when they killed Stephen, they were still trying to offer the kingdom. And they didn't want it. They didn't want to hear it. Israel wasn't going for that. They stoned him and killed him. And after that, it was it. Apostle Paul came on the scene. And who knows, he could have been the Antichrist, you know. He could have been what the Antichrist is, what it's going to be in the future. But the Lord stopped him and brought him to be the pattern for us today. And that's what I pray that some, hopefully, you know, these churches today can understand that He's our pattern. It's not of the 12. As much as they did, as good as they did and what they did for the Lord, they were part of a whole different program. And they were part of a whole different set of issues of going ons and part of a different dispensation. And we're in the dispensation of grace. So, so that being said, yeah. So let's go back. So now that we were talking about the nations, now let's see what God has to talk about with individuals. So we can go to Romans chapter 10. Verse 12 and 13. Yep. And, you know, if the Lord deems we're saved by His blood, right? And we have an eternal establishment in the heavenly with Him by believing. And we have that position. So I think it's rightly so that we're worthy to be able to promote His word and to call out what's going on as individuals. Because the Lord deals with individuals today. Every individual is precious. All you guys, everyone. every single person. The Lord loves us, and He wants us to be the best that we can be for Him. Because He, you know, because He's the Lord. Romans chapter 10, verse 12. For there's no, this is one with no difference as well. For there's no difference between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whomsoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So that's another one for individuals. You know, that's, we can go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll look at that real quick. Kind of, and I'm just, and when we go through these scriptures, this is living, this is proof. This is our proof, you know. I mean, when you think about it, the Bible, people want to discredit the Bible. Well, the Bible has so much, so many things, so many truths in it that, and it ain't just about the prophetical truths, because what is there, 800 prophecies that in the Bible? Or there's more, that there's probably more than that. And it's not even those. The Bible, when you think about it, between a period of 1,500 years. So you have 1,500 years that this book was written on three different continents, between three different languages, and between 40 plus authors. So we're kind of roughly there. Who knows if that's the true numbers, but those are the rough numbers that, how can you even, this book is supernatural. This book has supernatural tendencies to it. If you, it even got health that you can go by. It's got health issues, and it's got the, even how the world in its, the earth itself operates, and if the law of entropy, the law of information gives birth to information. Those are all biblical terms. Those are all real things that are in science. And it just goes on and on and on. So for anybody that wants to say, oh, it's fairy tales, it can't be. Amen. It can't be. If for someone with a logical mind that thinks without bias, and you think on this, and you're like, okay, well, it can't be. It just can't be. So for those that say that. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. And we're going another one with individuals here. And for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And what he died for all, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. See, that's for each person. That's wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. There you go. The individuals. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Every person who is saved becomes a new creature, we get the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ dwells in us, and the Holy Spirit is, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. So now we're Lord souped us up, and He's got us where we're supposed to be, and that's very appreciative. We should be very appreciative. It's a blessed thing. So moving forward. And like I said, these are just contrasts between prophecy and mystery. That was a mystery. So these are just the underlying mystery, you know, issues and prophecy issues. Prophecy concerns Christ coming to earth. The mystery explains Christ's presence, absence from the earth. So Christ is always, they've always been, like we said, all the Jews have always been trying to get, always been, their hope was in the Messiah to come, for that seed of the seed of Abraham, the seed of the woman, the seed that come, and the Abrahamic covenant, the Mosaic covenant, the Davidic covenant. They all were that the Lord Jesus Christ would come and fulfill all those prophecies for them. But today explains why Christ isn't here now. you know, it's he's already fulfilled that. Now they got rid of him. They didn't want nothing to do with it at the time to Israel. Now he's been risen from the dead, and he sits at the right hand, as we read before, of the Father. And that's where he's at. We're wondering where he's at. That's where he's at. And now, us as individuals, we're to do what is under our pattern, which is the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul is our pattern, so we could do what we're supposed to do for this day and age of grace. And that is to promote the Lord Jesus Christ through the books of Romans, through Philemon, and so that, and without the law, because the Lord Jesus Christ was the ultimate sacrifice. Before, they didn't have, that's why they were doing animal sacrifices, because it was like throwing sin under a rug. Now the Lord abolished sin, even though he knew we would sin. Now we're identified in him. So when he sees us, he sees the Lord Jesus. And so, which is a beautiful thing. So, Ephesians chapter 1. Let's just go there real quick. Kind of. Verse 20, concerning Christ's absence. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20. We'll start at verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, which is for us, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the one to come. That's where he's at. That explains. That's our explanation of what we got going on for today with present absence. So that's mystery. And notice, when we go to prophecy, we're going into books that are outside of that, Romans through Philemon. And I know all the teachers, they talk about repetition, but, you know, repeating yourself and all that. But I think it's a good thing, you know, to kind of repeat, because it kind of gets in your... You know, I've about said Romans through Philemon, I don't know how many times, but it's a good thing to like repeat, because it kind of gets into the mind and it stays and you can kind of get it, you know? So, and then prophecy, salvation by grace through faith alone is not contemplated. Salvation by grace through faith alone lies at the very heart of the mystery. That's before it was, they didn't, salvation by grace alone, salvation by grace through faith alone, they, you know, they had faith, but they were like alone. They were used to doing works. They had to be, you know, doing their thing. And for us, it lies just by grace through faith alone. That alone, just hearing that, is a beautiful thing. And let's just... Ephesians 2, we're right here in Ephesians. You can go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 9. And everyone knows this verse. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. See, it's not us. We don't have nothing to do with our salvation. That is purely what the Lord Jesus Christ did under the mystery, under grace. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I think it's Les Feldick where he says, he's like, wouldn't it be something if you went to heaven and you're like, yeah, I did this to get to heaven and I did this, you know, for works. And he's like, it'd be a miserable place, you know. It's like, because it's like everybody would be boasting about what they did to get to heaven. And, you know, I thought that was interesting what Les said, because it's true, you know, it probably would be, you know, everybody would be boasting about how they did so good and the Lord did it all. He did it all for us. Yep. And I thought that was pretty good. And all right, almost done. So we said about the Old Testament writers not knowing what they were talking about. Oh, really? So they didn't know? Well, I'm going to show you. We can go to Daniel, the book of Daniel, and chapter 12. Daniel himself, when he asked the Lord, he said, well, we'll get to it. And this is, I'm sure, concerning the tribulation. You know, at the end there, he's talking about the 1,290 days. But Daniel chapter 12, verse 8 through 10. And here we have another thing of prophecy where they didn't know. And I'm going to show you. And I heard, but I understood not. That's Daniel. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. So you see there in verse 8, and I heard, but I understood not. And he was, you know, he was telling prophecies, you know, he didn't understand that. But as we know, and I think, I don't know if we covered it, but Paul both understood and longed that others might understand the mystery revealed. Paul understood exactly what he was talking about. And that's how we should be too, because we have a full Bible. Hey, we have a Bible that's complete, and we can understand what happened back then, and we can understand what's going to happen in the future, and we understand what's happening now. And all these things going on, corona, vaccine, wars, these are just things that have always been, you know, wars and rumors of wars and people, you know, governments taking over their people. It's like, it's been happening for how long, you know? Like, look at what happened with the Lord Jesus Christ when he was going to be born. King Herod killed all the kids, 2 years old and under. That's genocide. That's killing, you know, that's always been. So it's going to happen again, and it's going to keep on happening, and it's always a satanic backing behind it. And it's just for the people that want to say, oh, well, I don't know if this is, you know, if people are like that, or there are people like that. It's in the Bible, and we shouldn't worry about that, because we're already secured in the heavenlies, and these things have always been happening. And our job is to try to get other people, try to get souls for the Lord, try to get them to come and understand what is the revelation of the mystery and what is the truth. So, and to show that Paul understood, we can go to Colossians chapter 1. And like I said, the Bible is our proof, because you know what? This book is supernatural, and we can use this for all the proof in the world. Chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom, all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. All wisdom. See, we have such a high calling and to walk worthy, and it's just can be almost humbling, you know, so humbling that we have. Just the regular guy, Joe Schmo, as myself, can have this position and to be able to promote it and to live righteous and be the best that we can be. So, So just a few more things. So that was in the mystery. So prophetic program revealed through many of God's servants. So that was revealed. The mystery revealed through one man, the Apostle Paul. So you had all the prophets, many of them revealing the prophecy. Mystery had one man. One man was showing us all. So, with that being said, as I hopefully this helped get you guys a little more on track, or anybody listening, because I know a lot of people here understand these things, but it doesn't hurt to kind of sharpen and to, you know, edify. And just to kind of cap this, that prophecy is the purpose concerning the earth and Christ's reign. Mystery is the purpose concerning heaven and our exaltation with Christ. So, and there's, those are two divisions that must be known for you to understand the Bible and to enjoy the scriptures and kind of see, and it kind of makes things easier. Amen. It does. Like, I mean, if somebody tells me, what is this to? I don't even have to like read. I can just see just through the books. You know, if you're under Colossians, you're under grace. You're under Paul's epistles. If you're under Isaiah, you know, that's a prophetical book. So, and it kind of brings things to a nice relieving and easing, you know, understanding of God's scriptures the way he intended it to be. So, and if you're not saved today, you want to, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, he died on the cross for your sins and rose again and was buried, rose and is sitting at the right hand of the Father, and where we'll be reigning with him and fellowshipping with him and working with him for him, all in his glory. So if you want to be, if you're not saved, please think twice, because the world is getting to a chaotic place and you want to be secure, and a lot of people are not. And that being said, God bless. And let me close in prayer, because Heavenly Father, thank you for everything that was said today. Hopefully some people can take this and kind of move forward with it, and we can learn from it, myself and others, and hopefully through the Holy Spirit, that you were glorified and honored. And thank you for this congregation, because everyone here is blessed and precious in your sight, Lord. And we are grateful that we can come to a church and to honor you and to keep the truths that have been hidden and that Satan tries to hide, and to keep them in our hearts, and to move forward as we live, Lord, and to apply, like Pastor Paul says, to apply it and to honor you. In Lord Jesus' name we pray, amen.